Welcome to worship at Advent this morning. The beautiful array of flowers, the outside ones are from Robert Sanborn's memorial service yesterday, and the altar flowers, as I call them, are in the middle. When I came in this morning with the doors shut on the sanctuary, it just felt like a flower garden. It was just really a special scent. So I hope by the time that you leave, the words that we speak will be like a nice aroma and give you peace and joy. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Please join with me in the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of kings and Lord of lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
This morning's first lesson is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. God, through Ezekiel, declares himself shepherd and ruler of his people, gathering them, providing for them, protecting them, guiding them, and judging them. All these things he does for us, too, his sheep. Reading from Ezekiel 34. Verses 11 to 17. This is from the New International Version. But this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend to my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring them back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. This is the word of the Lord. This morning's psalm is Psalm 95, starting on page 3. Let's read together in unison. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Second lesson is from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. At the end of the age, Jesus will appear. The dead shall be raised, and death will be destroyed forever. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 28. I'm reading from the New Century Version. But Christ has truly been raised from the dead, the first one, and proof that those who sleep in death will also be raised. Death has come because of what one man did, but the rising from death also comes because of one man. In Adam, all of us die. In the same way, in Christ, all of us will be made alive again. But everyone will be raised to life in the right order. Christ was first to be raised. When Christ comes again, those who belong to him will be raised to life. And then the end will come. At that time, Christ will destroy all rulers, authorities, and powers, and he will hand over the kingdom of God to God the Father. Christ must rule until he puts all enemies under his control. The last enemy to be destroyed will be death. The scripture says that God put all things under his control. When it says all things are under him, it is clear this does not include God himself. God is the one who put everything under his control. And everything has been put under the Son, then he will put himself under God, who had put all things under him. Then God will be the complete ruler over everything. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord according to Matthew. The lessons today are all about what happens at the end, the restoration in Ezekiel to the raising up of those who are in Christ, to the lesson from Matthew today, which speaks about the end as well and the separation of those on Jesus' left side to those on the right side. A teaching that it's fascinating, speaking about the end, but also the fact that there will be judgment at the end. Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. The Son of Man will come again in his great glory with all his angels. He'll be king and sit on his great throne. And all the nations of the world will be gathered together before him, and he will separate them into two groups as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The Son of Man will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, Come, my Father has given you his blessing. Receive the kingdom God has prepared for you since the world was made. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was alone and away from home, and you invited me into your house. I was without clothes, and you gave me something to wear. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the good people will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you food, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you alone and away from home and invite you into our house? When did we see you without clothes and give you something to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and care for you? Then the king will answer, I tell you the truth, anything you did for even the least of my people, you also did it for me. Then the king will say to those on his left, go away from me. You will be punished. Go into the fire that burns forever, that was prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was alone and away from home, and you did not invite me into your house. I was without clothes, and you gave me nothing to wear. I was sick and in prison, and you did not care for me. Then those people will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or alone or away from home or without clothes or sick or in prison? When did we see these things and not help you? Then the king will answer, I tell you the truth, anything you refuse to do for me, for even the least of my people here, you refuse to do it for me. These people will go off to be punished forever, but the good people will go on to live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. This is the last Sunday of the church year, and so it would be expected that we speak about last things, what happens at the end, before we begin to prepare for the celebration of Christmas. In the passage that I read, one of the things that it spoke about was caring for those who don't have a home or who don't have clothes. And it reminds me of when we came to Denmark, we immigrated through New York. I had to go to the hospital for about a week and a half. And my parents, in the ambulance, came to the hospital with me, but had no clue what to do. Where do I stay? Because we couldn't be brought to where our family was going to live in Milan, Ohio, they were adrift in their thoughts. What do we do? And there happened to be a Danish nurse that was on duty when my parents arrived with me. And she heard them speak to one another and said that I'm also from Denmark. How can I help you? And they told her the dilemma. And she arranged for housing for them at a local YMCA where they stayed for that about week and a half. And it was one of those things, they talked later about it, why did she do that? And it was just because she cared. It wasn't to earn favor with anyone. She didn't know who my parents were, but she did what she knew was right and helped them to get a place to sleep, and then also told them how they could get food for those several days with not knowing the city. So that's a part of the essence of the meaning. You know, on a Sunday morning, and we'll be doing it later, we always pray the Lord's Prayer. And one of the things that we pray is, Thy kingdom come. Lord, would your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? It's a wonderful thought for some people. But think about the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve, where it says this in Genesis chapter 3. This was after they had broken the law of the Lord. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. Now, when you think about the Lord walking in the garden and making a sound, you have to understand that that cannot be the Holy Spirit. It must be Jesus in his pre-incarnated state. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. They had fear because they knew they had violated God's word and tried to hide among trees that God had created. They were terrified because they knew they'd sinned. They knew that they faced judgment. And the coming of God's kingdom at that point is not at all what they wanted. In the New Testament, there's a word, hamartia in Greek, which means sin, and it's one that's used repeatedly. And here's what it means. It means that if I were an archer, there's a target here that I can definitely hit. If I take aim and release the arrow, I'll hit the target. Hamartia means I am able to hit the target, but I miss, and that's sin. This was the end of October. I was getting ready to go on a retreat meeting in Amish country, getting my stuff ready. Some of you will know that a few months ago I got hearing aids, and somehow in the preparation for getting ready, I lost my hearing aids. And for a month, I just prayed and believed they have to be found somewhere. They never were. And this past week, I received my replacement hearing aids for a considerable amount of money. I missed the mark. I didn't take care of something that was important. And so I blew it. And the consequence for me, the debt for me, was that I had to pay a fee to get a new pair. That's a part of what sin is like. I could have cared for them. When you came in to worship this morning, you could have gone the speed limit. When you didn't, it was because you were careless or because you were late. But you had the ability to go the speed limit. So that's the essence of what that word for sin means. So that's a part of what Scripture reveals, that judgment waits for those like Adam and Eve who don't come in line with God's word and law for their lives. But there's another element that we see very clearly in Scripture where God is faithful and kind. He said to Moses at the burning bush, I will be with you. And Moses spoke the words of God to the people when they were getting ready to go toward the promised land. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. And that was the fire and the cloud that guided and followed them by day and night. So the coming of God's kingdom, thy kingdom come, causes two completely different reactions. There are those who step back in fear because I know I'm guilty. I have made a mistake. I have missed the mark. And there are those who understand that the coming of the kingdom is a good thing. And in this scripture, where Jesus speaks about separating the sheep from the goats, it speaks about that. It's not something simple, but here's how I grasp what it means. I have many times given to someone who's in need. Give you a real better example of me than, but it was from my wife. She used to run a food distribution center in Columbus for those who were seniors and for those who some were homeless. And it was a day when our other car was in the shop, and I went to pick her up, and there was a gentleman who needed to go home, but he didn't have a ride, and he was living in a room in an apartment that was leased by a couple of prostitutes that he knew, and he was filthy. He smelled, and Tammy said to me, "We're going to take him home, but before he gets in the car, roll down the windows, because he stinketh." And so we did that, and took him to the house, and I asked her afterwards on the way home, why would you do that? And her comment was, because he had a need and we could meet it. And to me, that's what a sheep does, caring for those who are sick or ill or have a need. I have done that. You have done that. You may give to the red kettle. You may give to someone that you see at a ball game begging outside. Regularly at certain places that I go, at exits to freeways, there are homeless people asking for a handout. Sometimes you do, but also sometimes you don't. And the Bible seems to say here that when you don't, you're a goat, but when you do, you're a sheep. And the truth is, I'm both. So does that mean I dread the coming of the kingdom, or I welcome it? And here's what I believe it means, that our Lord Jesus can look into the heart of each person. He knows who we are on the inside, beyond what we think we are. And he judges us on the basis of something very different. And that's what I want to look at for a little bit. Not on the basis of what we have done or what we haven't done. He hands out two verdicts on the last days, on the last day. And some on his right, some on his left. It's one of those things that it is difficult for me to grasp, that Jesus knows my motivation even before I do the thing. Jesus knew Tammy's motivation before she helped that homeless man. She did the right thing. I wouldn't have at that point. I had the children in the car, and I would have thought they might be vulnerable. She did the right thing. The first verdict for those on the right, who are the sheep, who are the people that we want to be, the king will say to you, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Those on the right receive the king's verdict and forgiveness. And here are the three things that I think are important. The blessing of those on the right, the sheep, number one, is that the blessing flows from the Father in heaven. It's not something that people work up for themselves. It is not because I have done enough good as a sheep that I inherit the kingdom. It's because it's a blessing that comes from the Father. And then secondly, and to me this is so central to the message today, the gift of relationship to Jesus, salvation, is because it's an inheritance. It's an inheritance. You don't work for an inheritance. It's something that you receive from someone who put you in your will. And when you come to Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're put in his will. And when he died for you. And a part of that is you receive from him your inheritance, which is eternal life. It's an amazing thing to grasp. And third, even more beyond that, is that Scripture says that God prepared that outcome for us before any of us were born. You know that in Psalm 139 it says that all the days of our lives were written in God's book before there was one of them. And that means, as we reflect on the memorial service we had yesterday, that when we come to the end of our physical life, God is not surprised. It was written in his book before it happened. So it's important for us to grasp that there are conditions, but the conditions to be on the right or the left can be fulfilled by trusting in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. To those on his left, he says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Ironically, when you think of what hell, fire, and damnation is, that was not created for you. It was created for the devil and the third of the angels that rebelled against God long, long ago. In that point when Satan wanted to be like God and have some dominion. It was not created for human beings. And so when people end up in eternal fire, separate from God, it's because they have simply rejected God's salvation, and some even because they're offended by the fact that I need to confess and receive his forgiveness. So here's an important point to the story. The sheep don't recall doing good things. I go back to the story of Tammy and the homeless man. She didn't do that to please God. She didn't do that to get something positive in her column. She did it because it happened to be the right thing to do. It's what a sheep does. Those who are on the outside looking in, those who are called the goats in this place, they ask, "We didn't ever see you hungry, Jesus. We never saw you unclothed or needing a place to stay." They didn't grasp that when you did it for someone who was really in need, you were doing it, as it were, for the Lord. So on the one hand, those on the left are angry. those in the right are oblivious to the fact that they were actually caring for the Lord when they cared for those who were the least of all. And the point is that those who inherit eternal life don't look to their good works for their salvation. Those of you who are active around the church, those of you who are active in the community, you are not doing that to please God, or rather to get right with God. You are doing that because you are right with God. It's out of gratefulness for what the Lord has done in your life. You're pleasing to God, and your works are pleasing to God because of what Jesus has done for you. And think about this, that when Jesus rose from the dead, it was a sign that Father God in heaven accepted his work for us. Because he rose from the dead, that was heaven saying that it really is finished, it's accomplished, it's paid for. So because of that, you're among those who can say, Lord, thy kingdom come. Lord, I can't wait to see you descend on the clouds and reunite us all in the air. Because you are not fearful of judgment. If you're fearful of judgment, then you need to come to that place where you say, Jesus, would you come into my heart and change my life? And then you are transformed suddenly in this teaching from a goat to a sheep. And Jesus says he's the good shepherd. He knows his flock. Let me close with this passage from Isaiah. Now, instead of that, let me go back to what I had shared earlier. Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve lived in perfection and chose to go against God's mandate. But when God came to them, he had already made a sacrifice. It's incredible to think about. He had killed an animal so he could provide covering for Adam and Eve. Even before Christ, centuries before Christ, he provided covering for Adam and Eve in anticipation of what would happen on the cross. God had planned before the foundation of the world. He has planned before the foundation of the world for you and for me. And our response is just gratefulness. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done in our lives. And as we get ready to celebrate the birth of Christ and all that it means, all the hoopla, it's a part of understanding that all of this is for us. It's a wonderful thing. So let's stand together now and confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. This is a confession of faith that sheep around the world make. Let's join in. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning's prayers of the people are Form 2 from the Book of Common Prayer. One of the interesting to me aspects of this particular form is that you don't have a vocal response. So this is an opportunity for us to pray in silence on what the Lord lays on our hearts. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for Archbishop Welby, for our presiding bishop, Curry, our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, for this gathering, for all ministers and people, and for Pastor Paul. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, for the well-being of all people, for those who are suffering from despair because of COVID or other issues and circumstances in their lives. We also pray for our election. We pray that we all remember that God is sovereign over this election process, that He has created, as part of His sovereignty, leaders over us, and that we are to pray for those leaders, regardless of whether they were from got our vote or not. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the homeless, the hungry, the oppressed, those in prison, and keyed from Paul's sermon this morning, the goats in our midst. We pray especially for those on Advent's prayer list. We pray for Ed and Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Michael, Bill and Judy, Lucille, Denise, Marilyn, Karen and Lois, Sharon, Steve and Sue, Dave, Joan, Stacy, Rose, Art, George, Shirley, Father Lutz, Betty, Tony, Ken and Jim, Liz, Stella, Tina, the residents of Pinzone Tower, the residents of Eliza Jennings, for Will, for Gabe. We pray for safety for David and Rachel. Pray for all those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all those who seek God or deeper knowledge of Him. Pray that they may find and be found by Him. I ask your prayers for the departed. We especially lift up Bob and Frankie. Pray for those who have died. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day. (Clears throat) Let's join together in the prayer on page 6. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
We're now going to into that time when we confess our sins to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness. It's amazing we do this week after week. We are flawed people, and we can never depend upon ourselves to earn what God has done for us. It's always a good reminder. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's send that around the air.
Good morning. So in the bulletin, there's a note called Church Update. It's in there because earlier this week, Joanne sent me an email and said, in light of the governor's guidelines, are we going to have church on Sunday today? And I said, I thought about it and prayed about it, and I thought, well, you know, we haven't been shut down yet, so yes, let's meet and worship together corporately. There are certainly folks who will choose not to come for this Sunday or other Sundays, and that's certainly their decision, and we endorse that and support that. They need to do what they feel called to do. At the same time, I think, speaking personally, it's time for us to consider church as an essential business, and for us to continue to worship together for those who choose to come. So unless things change, that's our plan. We're also going to, Dar and the choir are beginning to make preparations for Christmas Eve and for lessons and carols on the Sunday afterwards. We will have a Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock in anticipation that perhaps the 10 o'clock curfew will still be in place, so we'll meet on Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock here, and we'll have lessons and carols on Sunday following Christmas. So we ask that you continue to pray for stewardship. Today is notionally the day that we set for pledges to be received. There's nothing casting concrete about today being the last day. It's just a timeline for us to strive for. We are Gary Conaway, our treasurer, is in the process of putting together a budget that includes Father Ben and excludes Father Ben. I've had some conversations with him this week, and I think it's still moving in a positive direction. He's got several issues he needs to sort out at his end, but I continue to be hopeful that that he'll make a decision to join us. There will be someone to pray with you and back during communion, and I also want to just take a little time right now to pray for Thanksgiving that's coming up. Let's pray. Father, this Thanksgiving time is a special time of year for us to honor you and praise you and give you thanks for all the blessings that you bestowed on us. Lord, we thank you for helping us to deal with the challenges of not being able to get together with family, but help us to continue to focus on you as being sovereign over our lives. Help us to be thankful for what you've given us and not grumble about those things which we can't do. Lord, you are in control. We believe that. We honor you and praise you. We give you thanks this time of year especially. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also, speaking of stewardship, there are some envelopes on the little table as you exit the church and back with stewardship cards if you need one. So, peace be with you.
Don't go too far.
Oops.
Stay here.
Oops.
Linda, nope, right up here. Is Linda McCormick present? Come on up, Linda. Did you ever get a feeling something was amiss? Your better half.
I didn't know you were coming.
On behalf of our Advent family and the vestry, we'd like to honor you for your unselfish loyalty to the body of Christ and all parish members, past and present. And I have just a short list of things you do around here. For your unfaltering love for Christ and the word he entrusted to us. For the time away from your family, carrying out the details of senior warden, and Linda can attest to that. For the time spent checking upon parish members, going through the directory, calling everybody. For the time, here's a big one, for the time spent balancing the budget, which we do, taking care of the day-to-day commitments to the Diocese of Ohio, for volunteering to go to convention. Bless you, my son. That's a toughie. I've been there many a times. For the many outreach programs you choreographed and participated in, for the quiet time for those in need at St. Malachi. And Dick, a couple of those come to mind, especially one young lady that was there at quiet time. You just had to have been there to hear this. It still makes the hairs on the back of my neck go up. It's very, very spiritual. For the wise elderly counseling for parish members or leaders of our Advent family, for an open ear to anyone that just needs to unload. You probably hear about this when he gets home, Linda. For an organizer and a participant in mission trips, Pascagoula, Mississippi in August. Come on, Dick, it was 1,000 degrees down there.
Forgive me.
For Bible studies, be it in the classroom or vestry. For being a greeter and a welcoming committee to Advent visitors. You catch them as soon as they come in. For leading us in healing prayer. For leading, filling in, or helping to make sure that we have a Christ-centered service every Sunday. For learning new duties such as Alder Guild, for the many hours spent searching for a full-time spiritual leader for our parish family. And that's been a biggie, even before Ben. That's been a biggie. For your taxi service on Sunday. And lastly, for watching over the junior warden to make sure he doesn't overspend his budget. Problem solver, spiritual leader, husband, father, grandfather, business manager, and friend. At this time, I'd like to present you with this plaque dedicating our parish hall as McCormick Hall. Read what it says.
Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen you. Strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, this is astounding. You know, we often talk about why we do things. Paul talked in the sermon this morning. We do it because it's the right thing to do. We're called to bloom where we're planted, trying to bloom. But we're certainly planted here. We feel very blessed to be a part of this community. And Ray, I thank you very much for this.
On behalf of the parish members, for all the work you've done. And we have a card. You can open it up and look at it. Our resident card maker made that for you. And I'll post the plaque wherever you want it in the hall.
Oh, wow.
While Dick looks through that card, I have a comment. I have served churches from Iowa to New York to Ohio. And this is really the truth. I have never known a better church leader, both spiritually and organizationally. And it's been edifying to watch you care for the church.
I'm not sure how I feel about this one. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's the set at the end, isn't it? Is my time about up?
No comment.
Read the top one on the second page there.
Faithful with few things, I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Proverbs 16:1. Go ahead and make all the plans you want, but it's the Lord who will ultimately direct your steps.
I remember that in Vestry, I think. Go ahead, make plans. Go ahead. It's the Lord who will direct you. And last but not least, we have something, a flower arrangement for Linda, Max. What you do as senior warden, I cannot accomplish as junior warden. I'm glad to do this as junior warden. You keep the diocese on that side. You keep the goats over there. I'll keep the sheep in here. I can't thank you enough, and I'm glad to serve with you. Thank you very much.
Well, it's very kind of you to make this. That plaque and that hall name is unnecessary.
Very necessary.
But I also want to give thanks to Ray Bassoni standing here. This is a tag team match. He does certain things that I can't do. And I do certain things that he doesn't want to do. So you are blessed to have this guy standing next to me. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Thank you.
As the offering is brought forward, would you stand with me and share in the doxology? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, Creator of the light and source of life, who has made us in thine image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. Our Lord stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he gave it to them and said, "Drink from this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is given for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension. We offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Please join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. These gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive.
Thank you.
Please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. The blessing for this morning is from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Amen. There'll be lyrics with those beautiful melodies. Go joyfully with peace and serve the Lord.
How are you doing?